Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 100? You know, you could say the Psalter, the book of Psalms, could be called the book of Thanksgiving in some ways. Looking at Psalm 100, it's entitled A Psalm for Giving Grateful Praise. It reads thus, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who has made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." Let's pray. Father, we come before you with gratitude in our hearts, with thankfulness, Lord, for all your blessings in our life. And Lord, we just thank you for this season of gratitude, of thanksgiving. And we pray that you would grant us attitudes of gratitude as your people. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your word this morning. And we pray all this only and always in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So it seemed right to say a few things this morning about God's goodness, about being thankful, about his blessings in our lives. And, you know, as I think about the last few years here at Mosaic, as I think about that weird season that we called COVID and all the fear that was in our society, I realized, have you ever noticed fear and gratitude never go together? They don't go together, right? And, you know, as we move into a busy season, this is a good check for each of our hearts, and you probably know people. Would you characterize your heart as an attitude of ingratitude? Have we forgotten to be grateful? You know, every year I have to beat a dead horse, but, you know, confession's good for the soul. Any of you love Black Friday shopping? Miss Bonnie. At least she's honest. Look at that. Now that looks like a scene from the Midwest where I'm from. Black Friday shopping is a contact sport. People have died. It's nuts. My wife always loved being a part of it. My kids, I don't want anything to do with it. And look at that insanity. Has it ever struck you as odd that Black Friday comes right on the heels of Thanksgiving? A little spiritually ironic. So here we are, we're giving thanks to God on one day for all his blessings in our lives. And then the next morning, like people get up at like absurd hours, like 3 or 4. And then we go Black Friday shopping and we trample our fellow human beings so that we can get $35 off a flat screen or $100 off a sucky above ground pool. Or if you're the first 100 shoppers, you get a free package of Mint Milano cookies from Pepperidge Farms. Yay! This is absurd and insane. Only Americans do this, by the way. Black Friday is an American thing, and if anybody else is doing it, it's because the infection has been exported. We spend a day giving thanks to God for all his blessings and goodness in our lives, and then we trample our fellow human beings the next day. You know, as Janie was sharing, and thankfully she's kind of keeping an eye on her calendar, there's so many good things happening. But I know some people like myself are like, ooh, here we go again. And I have to check myself this week and say, is my current attitude a matter of ingratitude? Or am I grateful to God? Kind of like the time.
Oh, here it comes.
When an elderly man from Phoenix called his son in New York and said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I this holiday season are divorcing. After all, 50 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son cried. "Well," the old man said, "we just can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We're sick of each other. I'm sick of talking about this, so call your sister in Chicago. You tell her." Then he hung up. Frantic, the son called his sister, and the sister exploded. "They are not getting divorced," she shouted. "I will take care of this." She called her father immediately, screamed at the old man, "You are not getting a divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back. We're going to both be there by tomorrow. Until then, don't you do a thing. Do you hear me?" And she ended the call. The old man hung up the phone, and turning to his wife, he said while smiling, "Okay, so they're coming to Thanksgiving and paying for their own airfare. What are we going to do about Christmas?" Sound familiar? Yeah. I see Kevin is in for the holiday. Welcome. Right? You know, every year there are challenges in our life, and this year is no different. But it's really spiritually important for us as the followers of Jesus to intentionally practice thankfulness, right? Gratitude and generosity on a daily basis. Be honest, how often have these words passed your lips in recent days or recent weeks? "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings in my life." How often has a real and genuine attitude of gratitude filled our hearts? You know, having an attitude of gratitude doesn't seem to come naturally to human beings. There's this insatiable need for more and more, and it fuels greed and discontent in our lives. It leads to an unhealthy, unbiblical attitude of ingratitude. And so as we move towards Thanksgiving Day, I just simply this morning want to remind us that you and I have so much to be grateful and thankful for. Amen? Count your blessings, as the old hymn says, right? And one, we are called to be radically loving to God and to our neighbors, right? We're cultivating this practice. I believe that thankful Christians, right, in turn become generous Christians, which can help us to become more radically loving, giving, and forgiving to a lost and dying world. That's our mission here, right? And so as we think about thankfulness, as we think about gratitude, my mind turned to the Psalms, right? The Psalter calls people to rejoice, to give thanks to God for many different things. You could call it the Book of Thankfulness. And here's one of many, Psalm 100. What does it say? The first two verses, "Shout to joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." That's why we have worship music, people. So thank you to Anne Marie. Thank you, Amber. Thank you, worship team, for the gifts that you bless us with as you lead us in songs of praise and thanks to God. Right? There is so much for us to be thankful for if we just take the time, if we just take a minute. Here's an exercise. I've shared this with you before several times. I think it's practical. I think it's really helpful, right? Maybe you'll do this with yourself or in your family this week. Take a piece of paper, a pencil. You can do this anytime. This is what I call, excuse me, why I am grateful. I've shared some of these things before. Might look a little different for you. I'm thankful for a beautiful Christian wife who supported me for nearly 35 years in ministry. Some of you may remember a few years ago, and I kind of did it today, I put her last. Ooh, that didn't go well. That was a long car ride home. So she's number one now, right? Yeah. Right. Yay. Hey. I'm learning. I'm thankful for two fine sons. They've flown the coop. They grow up quick, right? One's in Denver, one's in Mexico, living interesting lives. I'm thankful for a mother and a grandmother who led me to faith in Christ. You know what? My mom did something crazy. When I was a kid, she made me go to Sunday school. Oh, the pain and horror, right? I don't want to make my kids. You make them go to school, right? Why wouldn't you bring them to God's house so they can learn the truths of God? I'm really grateful for our children's ministry. Lexi and Deb are doing a great job. That's the future. Thankful for Anne Marie and Sharisa who pitched in recently when Deb was suffering for Jesus on a Caribbean cruise. There's a little schadenfreude there. I guess there's a lot of rude Europeans on it. And I was like, I'm a child. I am thankful for my mom, who still very much supports our call to minister in faraway Montana, 2,000 miles away from our home. I'm thankful for my hobby farm, my growing gardens. I always wanted that when I lived in the city. I used to grow tomatoes in 5-gallon buckets in city apartment balconies. Now, if you've been to my place, it's like, dude, slow down, calm down, you know, but it's sort of my therapy. I'm thankful for my increasing gun collection. I am totally Montana legitimate now. It's growing. I used to say when I lived in Chicago, a 9 will get you 9. Because the drug dealers used to throw their 9s in the church gardens, and I'd have to go out there with the cops to get them so they'd be printed. And out here, 9 is kind of cute. That's cute. You know, people talk trash about Chicago. It's a great town. And, you know, it's a war zone. It's Chirac. No, it's not. You know, that's the west side and south side at night, right? You know, they're killing people all the time. There would be 3 or 4 times the amount of deaths if any of these gangbangers actually took shooting lessons from a Montanan. Who shoots this way? This is the stupid. I'm thankful for my gun collection. I get to live in a beautiful place. I used to live in some ugly places. I used to have offices at Loyola University when I was a prof that faced brick walls 16 to 18 stories up. Oh, that's a, you know, you think you get a view of the city? No. Bricks, I'm thankful for fantastic ministry leaders who make ministry not only a calling, but a joy. It is a joy to be here and work with you. It is so much fun. You know, watching people do stuff. Barry's doing the hams. Janie makes sure we're actually running a calendar. Greg, Wayne, all kinds, Carol, it's just great. And I'm remembering my doctoral mentor had a plaque on his desk. He was a Christian guy. Can't assume that at a university. And it said, "For God so loved the world that he didn't send a committee." Yeah. Praise God. Committees die at Mosaic. What we do is, like, if there's a need, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? How are you feeling about this? Yes, 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 done. Committee meeting over, praise God. What else am I thankful for? Additional ministry and missions opportunities here in our community, as well as abroad. We've enjoyed time with Joel and Sheila Meyer in Indonesia. You helped get them back to the field, right? Sam Namalabe, he's a hoot. You know, just walking around Murdoch's idea shopping. He's like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Oh, Sam, that's the wonderful world of electric fencing." He's like, "Really? Does it work on elephants?" I said, "I don't know. We have to talk to the manager." But we're learning, right? I'm thankful for the privilege of pastoring such a cool Christian family, gracious and compassionate Christians, best church in my life. Thank you. So that's my list. How about you do a list this week with your loved one? I encourage it. Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Jesus has been a good shepherd, amen? Right to his sheep. Each year is challenging. He's given us food, clothing, shelter every day of our lives. Beyond the tangible thing, he's given us new life in his name. So how can we not respond like verse 4 in Psalm 100? "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise." How can we not give thanks to him and praise his name? Right? What I have found, and I'm still learning this as a Christian, is that having an attitude of gratitude and specifically naming the reasons why I'm thankful to God, this has helped me discover that the problems in my life that inevitably come up in difficult days are not as vexing, they're not as frustrating as they, or quite as huge as I once thought. You ever know when you're really struggling with something? Have you prayed about it? Are you just fussing about it, or are you bringing it to the Lord? You bring it to the Lord, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Remember that verse? Some of you need that, the yoke of Jesus today, because you're carrying it on your own. Why? Why? Right? I'm finding that the more time I spend thanking God, the problems sort of evaporate. Have you ever noticed when you pray and give it to the Lord, you become happier? Right? Isn't the Christian faith and having an attitude of gratitude, aren't they linked? Right? Christian people should be really thankful people. You know, you don't have to look far into the Bible to see that the Bible is filled to the brim with examples of people who are thankful for God's blessings in their lives. Tangible, intangible. Kelly's discovered the wonders of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. She borrowed mine this week, then she got her own. She sent a pic, I was laughing. Dr. Strong, this is back in the day before computers and calculators and stuff. He actually tabulated every single word by hand in the Word of God. Back in what, the 1800s? That's why exhaustive. I love that thing. So I can just be lazy and I can look up how many times the word thanks comes up. It's well over 200 in the Bible, plus gratitude, plus other things. So this is an important topic in the Bible. The Psalter is a treasure trove of thanksgiving. You could say it is a primer for developing an attitude of gratitude, the book of thanksgiving. Here's a few things I just pulled out of Strong's. Psalm 30, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 97, we give thanks at the remembrance of your name. Psalm 136, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Discovered this by studying Dr. Strong's exhaustive work. When I'm looking up at the word of thanksgiving and gratitude, I discovered something, that 25% of all the examples of thanksgiving and gratitude in the Bible come from the lips of the Apostle Paul. I thought, ooh, that's interesting, right? That's when we're doing some Bible study, right? It's like, oh, wow, could that be a key for why he could thrive in difficult ministries? I mean, they're always chasing him, you know, dogs are chasing him down the street, he's getting beaten and pelted with stones, shipwrecked, and lots worse, right? But he's always thanking God for something. He's grateful. I thought, man, that probably was an important key for his longevity in ministry. He had an attitude of gratitude. He's a model for that. You know, so thankfulness, gratitude, is a practice worth developing and bringing into your life daily. It's a byproduct of a life that enjoys and loves God, right? Now, it can bring you happiness, and that's pretty cool. Now, some people would say, well, happiness is not the goal of the Christian life. That's true, but it is a byproduct of a life that is in submission, loving submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's enshrined in our founding documents, life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. Isn't it weird that we live in the wealthiest country in human history, hands down? Hands down. I know it's shocking, but if you just looked at the GDP of the state of California just surpassed the GDP of Germany as a nation. That's just one of our states. We are so ridiculously wealthy, it's unbelievable. Why is it that we have so much abundance and so less wellness? Why is mental health spiraling in our country? Why? Is it because we're looking for happiness apart from Jesus Christ? Well, you're a preacher. Of course you're going to say that. Yeah, on good authority, the Word of God, right? Thankfulness is something we should be practicing every single day. The most richest and powerful nation, we're so unhappy, right? Happiness is hard to experience because we have lost having an attitude of gratitude. We're ungrateful sometimes. Right? Truly happy people are thankful people. They're thankful for God's blessings showered in their lives. We've said this a bunch of times in 2025. When we take our focus off of Jesus and we start looking at the stormy circumstances of our lives, that's when we get into trouble, right? You know it's true. I know it's true. You start to sink, right? Despondency, depression, despair, these sorts of things. That's when you develop unwittingly an attitude of ingratitude. Kind of like the time a man inherited a talking parrot. from a relative who just passed. Have you ever inherited weird stuff from loved ones? I've heard some zingers. Just passed away, so he inherited this talking parrot, but this guy was well known for having an attitude of ingratitude. 5 minutes after he brought this bird home, the man was assaulted with a machine gun-like sequence of swear words, rude insults, and some of the dirtiest jokes this man has ever heard in his life. Have you ever seen this thing on you see this on the internet, these parrots that say terrible things? You're like, where'd they learn that? I wonder. But this man was a Christian man. He sought to reform the parrot's attitude of ingratitude by reading to it aloud from wholesome children's books, inspiring portions of God's word, as well as playing for it uplifting praise music. But it was to no avail. The bird remained unrepentant, deeply mired in a godless attitude of ingratitude, and he continued to upbraid the poor man with crass and rude name-calling. Finally, the man who normally possessed the patience of Job finally snapped because of the parrot. He grabbed this bird, he opened up the freezer door of his fridge, and he threw it in there and slammed it shut. The ungrateful little beast began to kick at the door, squawking at its lungs, at top of its lungs, no avail. After several minutes, the freezer grew eerily silent, and the man finally opened the door to see what had become of that foul little bird. Imagine the man's shock when the parrot flew out of the freezer, landing calmly on his kitchen counter. The parrot now was both remorseful and repentant for his belligerent behavior, and he addressed his new owner, saying thus, "Sir, I apologize for my awful behavior, and I repent from the sin of having an attitude of ingratitude." The man was completely, totally stupefied. Before he could ask the reason for the change, the parrot responded thus, "While I was in that horrific place, I had the sad opportunity to meet some of the others you previously flung into that frozen freezer. I only have one question for you yet, sir." And he said, and the shocked saint said, "What is it?" And the placid parrot said, "What did the turkey ever do to you?" It's going to take a few days to thaw that bird, right? In all seriousness, how would you characterize the state of your heart currently? Is it stained with an attitude of ingratitude? Now, I have shared this story before several times. I think it's helpful. I like it. Because it comes from a classic comedian who is known for having a foul mouth like the parrot. But, God can reach anybody. There he is, George Carlin. Man, that guy had penetrating spiritual assessment before he died. This happened after 9/11 and the death of his wife. He wrote this, right? Highlighting the futility of a search for happiness apart from gratitude to God. He wrote this. "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. Wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but we have less. We buy more but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses but smaller families. More conveniences but less time. More degrees but less sense. More knowledge but less judgment. More experts yet more problems. More medicine but yet less wellness. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get too tired, read too little, watch too much TV, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to our life but not life to those years. We have been to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street or the road to meet a new neighbor." Huh. "We've conquered outer space now, but not inner space. We do larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted our souls. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudices. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We learn to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion. Big men, but small character. Steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce. Fancier houses, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that can do from everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It's a time when there's much in the showroom window, but nothing left in the stockroom. It's a time when technology can bring you an email, and you can choose to read it, or you can delete it. So, says Carlin, remember to spend time with your loved ones, because they're not going to be around forever, are they? Some of you know that. Remember to say a kind word to someone who looks up at you in awe. They're not going to be around forever. Remember to give a big warm hug to the one next to you. It's the only treasure you can give from your heart, and it doesn't cost you a penny. Remember to say I love you to your spouse, your loved ones, and most of all, mean it. A kiss and embrace can mend hurt when it comes from deep within inside you. Remember to hold hands, cherish the moment, for someday that person won't be there anymore, so give time to love others, give time to speak, share precious thoughts with precious people. After all, Carlin says, life is not measured by the number of breaths that we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. How about that? Yeah. Does that have anything to do with a life of giving thanks and gratitude to God? You can bet your life on it. Psalm 105 says this, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to what? All generations. And sometimes we're all in this position. Sometimes when you don't know how to pray, you do know how to give God thanks. Sometimes when you don't know what the next step in life is, you do know how to give thanks. Sometimes when you finally run out of all the answers you thought you had, you can give thanks to God. And I believe that God will take your breath away by the overwhelming enormity of his gifts and his goodness and grace in your life, and you'll find the needed courage and precious hope to live a life that passionately loves him and will enjoy him forever. Amen? Amen. Have an attitude of gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess that so often our lives are matters of ingratitude, but you call us, your word calls us in the Psalms and many other places to have an attitude of gratitude, of perpetual thanks and praise of you. And so, Lord, as we move into the Thanksgiving Day holiday this week, we pray that you would make us a people of grateful hearts, praising you for all your goodness in our lives, not focusing on the negative, not focusing on what we think we don't have, but on everything you have given us. And we will give you praise, we will become happier, and we will become more faithfully and fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give you thanks and praise. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.